All right, today we move back into the stream after a small period of ministering in relationship to the holidays. And now I hope that you still got it. Don't leave home without it. The document, and there's some in the back on the table, the scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Everybody repeat after me, the scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. You must understand and internalize and get some understanding. There are some in the back in case you don't have it with you. Get some illumination and understanding of these glorious eternal truths, that everything, and more specifically and most importantly, your salvation was actualized by God's decree in eternity. Manifested in time, but actualized by God's decree in eternity. It is depicted for testimony purposes in time, but God is not working as we hear. God is working, that's an expression that is germane to manifestation and how we think of things being manifested in time. God has worked, and everything in him has been fulfilled, was fulfilled, and there's nothing that exists in God that is not yet fulfilled. So what we have is one big eternal now, except you can't see that in the time capsule. Amen. Because in the time capsule, you have sequencing. We have days. We have moments, minutes. We have hours. We have days. We have weeks. We have months. We have years. We have decades. We have scores. We have centuries. We have millennium. Amen. All sequencing, but is all one eternal now. Right. Everybody say eternal now. So what that thing is, it is. Even if it hasn't been manifested, it is. And if you understand this, it will help you to be able to lay down and sleep at night. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. I'm going to go back and do a little bit of recapping this morning. Go back through a few things we have said to kind of bring us back into focus. Let's turn to Colossians chapter, well, we know where we're going. Colossians chapter 1. By the time we get through some 2 years, a year and a half from now, this is going to be etched completely into your thinking. That verse of scripture in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. Everybody turn to it. Again, we have the actual Greek script in there because it gives the evidence for our derivations away from what is most commonly translated and read and thought in that things are by him, and while they are by him from the instrumental standpoint, by the means of him, they are in the locative sense, that is location wise, they are in him. Amen. Someone asked me during the conference, we were given an illustration of the entire universe. And they said, well, where is God in there? I said, let's reverse that. Amen. If you're going to ask, where is something, don't ask, where is God in the universe, we said, where is the universe in God? Amen. God is bigger than the universe. And the only space that it could reside in would have to be that which he has created for its accommodations.
Yeah.
Amen. And the only way a thing can exist is that it must reside in him, in God. So all things reside in God. All things reside in God. Nothing that resides outside of where's it going to be? where can you place it if it's not in God? Amen. All right, read this, Brother Deacon. First, read that from the King James, because many of us have King James, and then let's go immediately to the Greek. Then we're going to recapitulate a few things. As we go forward, because there are some things that must be concomitantly viewed as a premise as we go forth and explicating the things that actually comes out in closely analyzing the actualization of things by God's decree in eternity. All right, again, everybody got to say amen. All right, read or read.
We're reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 16, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible,
mm-hmm.
whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
And that's the way most of us read it. And let's go to the Greek.
Mm. Colossians 1:16, interlinear Greek text. Because in him were created all things.
You see that? In him. That is epsilon ni. That's in. In. You don't. You can't get by out of that anywhere. All right.
In the heavens and on the earth.
And were created. You have an indicative aorist. You have an indicative mood is the what? It's the aorist tense. The indicative mood is a fact, and the aorist tense is what?
A completed action.
So you have a completed fact. Of creation is a completed fact. God's not making things daily.
All right.
Everything that can be made has been made.
Has been. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it hasn't been manifested,
right?
But it has been made.
Uh-huh. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Has been actualized.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it hasn't been testified of.
Right, right.
But it has been actualized.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to
God.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
Were created. Mm-hmm. All things were.
All things in the heavens,
mm-hmm.
and on the earth.
All right.
The visible.
Visible.
And the invisible.
Invisible.
Whether thrones.
Thrones.
Or lordships.
Lordships.
Or rulers.
Rulers.
Or authorities.
Whatever. Whatever. Whatever is out there. Amen. God is in charge of it.
Glory to God.
Not only physical, not only the visible.
Right, right.
But the invisible. That includes every thought,
every
intention.
Every.
My God, a fly doesn't wiggle his left wing unless, hallelujah. My God, God enables it.
Hallelujah.
Can't happen.
Glory to God.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
And it won't happen unless it's been decreed.
That's right.
That's it.
Oh, my God, somewhere down the line, we'll get that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that thing has been decreed, mm-hmm. it can't possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Us,
that's right.
Help.
Preaching.
Don't you ever think that God is not completely, absolutely
mm-hmm.
in control.
In control.
That's right.
Everything.
So nothing is out of control because everything is according
mm-hmm.
to the drumbeat
mm-hmm.
of that which God has orchestrated.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Yes.
And that thing has to be manifested in accordance with the decree,
mm-hmm.
It cannot be anything but the way that God has ordered it.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so that thing is never out of control.
Never, never.
It may seem like it.
Come on, come on.
Some days look like things are just in a whirlwind, doesn't it? Huh?
Amen.
Some days we're frustrated.
Amen.
Because things are moving seemingly just in the opposite of what we have imagined as our itinerary.
All right. That's right.
But it is not spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. It is moving according to God's agenda.
Glory. Yes. Amen. Yes.
No matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. A storm comes and it destroys a village. And it kills a city. Mm-hmm. And it kills a number of people. Mm-hmm. And some are hesitant to call it an act of God. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that is because they don't recognize that if it happened, if it manifested, it's because he had decreed it.
That's right.
A problem is, we view death as trauma. Mm-hmm. We view death as destruction. Mm-hmm. Here's the way it works.
Come on.
That which is real is spiritual. But that which is manifested, which is physical, is in testimony to God's purpose.
Yes. Amen.
And once God's purpose is fulfilled in a thing, it is eliminated.
It's eliminated. Sure is. Come on here. Read it.
This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it speaks to us, and it's telling us, what does this tell us? That the things that are seen are what? They're temporary. What does temporary mean?
Not long.
So, we'll just be here temporary. That means we won't be here long, you know. Our problem is we don't understand that our abode here on earth is, what? It's temporary. It's not long.
That's right.
And that which manifests it's in fulfillment of God's purpose, and at the conclusion of God's purpose, there's no reason for that thing to manifest anymore.
That's right. Preach it. Hallelujah.
Our problem is, we try to rationalize God on a human basis.
There you go.
All goes back to the hybrid mentality. No, what's a hybrid machine? You take two opposite components and you get them either working together, either successively to accomplish the same thing. In this sense, we think that God are controlling some things, then we're controlling some things, and then things spiral out of control. We say, well, no, neither God or we are controlling. So now, that's what happens when they say, well, God didn't have anything to do with that. You know, going to Virginia State campus and the shooting in ministers. God didn't have anything to do with that. I would rather think, and the scripture supports it, that it was in God's purpose that the incident happened, amen, than to think that God had no control and nothing to do with it. What gives you the more comfort? That God had a purpose for it, or that God had nothing to do with it. Amen. And so that's how it works. And so, as God's purpose is fulfilled in anything, that thing no longer has reason to exist. A baby is born, stillborn. God's purpose has been fulfilled in that life. A toddler is killed. God's purpose has been fulfilled in that life. You look up and you see some old fool that's bragging that there's no God, and he's 80-something years old. And you say, why didn't God strike him down? God's purpose hasn't been fulfilled yet in that life.
Right.
Our problem is we're trying to figure God out according to human rationale. But I tell you, it doesn't work that way.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Preach it. Amen.
Because the human mind, our pea brains, cannot, amen, rationalize and come up with God's methodology for who and what and when and why. Amen. Huh? It doesn't work that way. And so this is why we're going to take so much time. Because when you read in our gospel, the mystery, if you're going to do mystery ministry, you've got to understand this. Because many of Paul's writings, you won't have a clue what he's talking about. Either you think that it's double talk of what he's saying, if you don't understand when he's talking about actualization by God's decree in eternity as it differs from manifestation in time.
Amen.
We think a thing happens when we see it. And this is why we think that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Or they're going to come after us. Manifestly, he died 2,000 years ago. But he died in eternity. Actualization and actually in reality, the essence of his death was in eternity. It was manifested 2,000 years ago. Amen. In time. And so this is why he could choose you in eternity.
Right.
Because he died in eternity.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
He couldn't choose you. God would have no basis. He would have no justice in choosing you in eternity.
Amen. Glory. Preaching.
If he hadn't already paid the price for you in eternity.
Right. Amen.
God doesn't operate the way we do in the economy. Amen. Amen. Most of us live on credit. We have to borrow. Oh my God. But God didn't save you on credit. Amen. Oh my God. Amen. He had already paid the price for your salvation in eternity. And now he can choose you. Amen. And sanctify you and sanctification in the body of Christ because he had already paid for it.
Glory to God. Amen. Thank God.
Oh my God.
Amen.
Now they're not going to like us.
Thank God.
Because that's not what's been orthodoxy taught. Amen. Oh my God. And this is why, when we read this, all things, finish that up, Brother Deacon. And all things
through him.
Through him.
And for him.
Uh-huh.
Have been created.
All things. Mm-hmm. Already. Not manifested, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a whole lot that hasn't been manifested.
Amen.
So whatever happened out there, whether you're going to get a raise or whether you're going to get fired, that thing has already happened. Don't go to sleep at night.
Right.
Get a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going to happen.
Amen. Glory.
So aren't we supposed to be concerned? Be concerned in the sense of the process of being concerned.
Right.
But don't be over concerned.
Right.
Be over anxious for what?
For nothing.
Why? Because that thing is already done.
Amen.
Well, that's so strange teaching now. This is what the scripture, when we just read it, these are all aorist tense. And aorist tense mean complete. And if it's complete, no, we're not going to ignore the aorist tense.
That's right.
Complete.
That's right.
Complete.
Amen.
That means it's done.
It's done.
Now, what we had gone through is we had gone through some definitions quickly. Decree, what is decreed? That is God's, what God has commanded and ordained. Amen. It becomes a force, a principle, a law. It comes into being. Amen. Ontology, a thing, amen, comes into being. It comes into being through the decree. Amen. It doesn't have to materialize.
Right.
God only materialized things in order to give a testimony so we can see it.
Yes, right.
He doesn't have to prove it to himself. My, you, y'all don't hear me. My God. It is already occurring. It is already happening. It is actualized, a real, through, and by his decree. Manifestation. What does that mean? To show something, to give some outward, a perceptible indication,
yes,
to materialize something.
Yes.
Our problem is we confuse manifestation with actualization.
Yes. Yes.
Most of us, we don't think a thing exists until we see it.
That's it. Preaching. Oh, amen. Preaching.
Everything that will happen, that will manifest, exists right now. Now, methodical and exegetical search of the scriptures is considered by many of today's assemblies and ministries to be too laborious, unnecessary. Call it hair splitting. Say you get into all of these exact terminology and you break it down and people don't want the nuts and the bolts and so forth. And first of all, I'm not up here to preach what somebody wants to hear.
Come on, hallelujah.
You the word of God doesn't work like that. None of God's ministers and prophets ever preached something that the people wanted to hear. Amen. But the boundaries of exegetical searching God's word is what we focus on, because it is limited to what thus says the scripture. Amen. Now, we're pursuing this course because sadly Orthodox Christendom is dominated by those more concerned about the things in time rather than in eternity. And this is what we're seeking to do. We're seeking to focus on the things on a prioritized basis in eternity over time.
Yes, Lord, yes.
And I know that runs counter to what our thinking is, because we are more affectionated by the things that are around us.
Wow.
And that would be okay if they were all eternal, but they're not.
They're not.
Amen. Huh? So you have the eternal things that are forever. You have the physical things around us that's temporary. And so the temporary would be the short run, and the eternal would be the long run. And so we focus and prioritize the short run over the long run.
Yes,
is that crazy? Is that crazy? Huh?
Yes, we do.
You holding on and focusing and prioritizing something that's being used up. Because once God's purpose has been fulfilled in that thing, it's going to disappear. Whether it's physical, whether it's material, whether it's concrete, whether it's a thought, whether it's an idea, when God's purpose is fulfilling that thing, it disappears. What did Paul write to Timothy? He said, I fought the good fight. I've done what? I run my course. I'm through. Paul said, I'm out of here. Because God is done with me on the, not eternally, but temporarily, on the basis of my abode on this earth, God is through with me.
Amen.
So I'm out of here. So our focus is on on a priority basis, is on what? Eternity rather than time. Now, let's move. My God, we got so long to go. I'm still in part one. Turn to the section that said the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree.
Yes, amen.
This is where we stopped before we went into our recess for the holidays. The scriptures unequivocally state the fact that everything came into existence and was initiated by God's eternal decree. This truth is in stark contrast to the erroneous proposition that some things have always existed. In other words, they say some things have no beginning, then you get illogical presuppositions from that. That things don't require origination, and scientists go out on a tangent away from God. Amen. And the more they talk, the dumber they get. Amen. Because it comes back to haunt them, because as you begin to really, really try to align those things, amen, the consistency of it, the fibers of consistency not only loosen, but they actually just come apart at the seams. Earlier we read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, amen, the things that are in him, amen, all things in him, amen, oh my God, in him. Identifying the location, I'm in the second paragraph, of origination in the sphere of him, as forestated, it could be by him in the sense of the means of him, which concomitantly exudes the obvious intended meaning as it relates that it is by him, but notice creation is in him, in the sphere of him. The emphasis has to be in the sphere of him. The other thing we must understand is we put the earth on an equal plane with the heavens. The heavens is everything above and beyond the regions of the earth. Amen. The earth, as we passed out the documentation to you, the earth is the very minute part of the universe. You know, when we juxtapose the earth, when we saw it, its size and mass versus even the larger planets in the solar system. Amen. It got smaller and smaller. We get to the Milky Way, it disappears. Amen. And the sun becomes what? Just a dot. Amen. And then when you look into the universe, the Milky Way is a dot. The entire universe. Amen. And so, when the scriptures are speaking here, they're only speaking in sense of the fact that we live on the earth, and it focuses on the earth in relationship to conveying some things to us concerning the earth. But don't you ever think that you could put the earth on the same plane, amen, as the heavens.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to the next page. We have looked at John 1 and 3. All things are made through him, and not one thing was made apart from him. Amen. And what would help us to understand that, amen, is not to isolate God from the thing that he made. Here's what I'm saying. When you say something was made by him, we think of something that is by him, which means he's remote from it.
Right.
When you say it's in him, then, you know, it is intertwined in him.
Amen.
And now you're not separating the thing that he made from him.
Right.
And if you understand that, then it's no problem to know that nothing was made that was made that was not made by him, because it is what? In him.
Oh, right. Yes. Right.
Now we move to the second paragraph.
Glory.
Are you with me?
Yes.
This changes the complexion of the origination of all things, from what to whom, and from something to someone. Human intelligence is capable of impressing upon the brain only a very small part of that which has been created. Yet in spite of the vastness of both that which is invisible as well as that which is visible, nothing exists in the universe apart from God having created it. Whether it be so minute that it cannot be seen, or so gargantuan that it cannot be comprehended. And this is what John 1 and 3 is trying to tell us. Now this leaves no room for anything to have come into existence through the human theory of evolution. I won't waste 5 minutes arguing with somebody in a forum about that. You know, if that's what that person thinks, it's because God hasn't given him the illumination of the truth.
Right.
And you're not going to convince him.
No.
Scriptures obviously doesn't mean anything. The scriptures obviously don't mean anything to that person. You see? You can just go on and pray, prayer venture. Such one is the lake of God. He'll come to knowledge of that. Not that if he doesn't, he won't be saved, but
Right. Amen,
we desire all of God's people to know. Mm-hmm. But if he's the non-elect of God, there's no way he's going to know anyway. So we can better utilize our time. Because theory of evolution is actually testimony that the humanistic, depraved mind is estranged from God. And this is what Paul was talking about in the first chapter of Romans. Now, the only adduce to this type speculating is the spiritual comprehension that the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. You got to go back. I won't be arguing about what happened in time, because nothing happened in time. Everything that is, quote, happening in time is a testimony of that which has actually happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thus, the real issue is, follow me now. Is it possible for an eternal something to exist without an eternal someone? And if so, how? And why? The essence of existence within itself demands a plan.
Amen.
Follow me now. The essence of existence demands a plan, demands a will, and it demands a purpose. Nothing exists except for a purpose. Of which there is no such originality in an eternal something. As the case of fact is that such has no relevancy with respect to time and power. What is time without a purpose? What is power without a purpose? An eternal something that is unproduced cannot be eternal. And is hence not able, not at all able, to do whatever it must possibly be possible to do in order to function as an independent entity. This is a very definitive way, this in a very definitive way demonstrates that the quality to produce, not the quantity to manifest, is the underlying issue. I'll repeat that. The quality to produce, not the quantity to manifest, is the underlying issue. So what does this indicate about the postulation of an eternal something? What is an eternal something? It obviously exudes that it is not functional solely in and of itself, because for something to exist, someone is required to capacitate it. Someone is required to cause it to exist. For instance, an eternal something can't have a beginning, and that such has needs, which it cannot of itself provide. Anything that can possibly be accomplished in its existence must be sourced from some outside entity. Other than God, everything must be sourced from outside of itself.
Oh.
Nothing inherently within itself can exist, can move, can do anything. Paul, as he spoke to the Athenians on Mars Hills in Acts, said, in him we live, we move, we have our being in him. And outside of him, it can't happen.
Glory.
Thus, it is impossible for something's capacity to be supplied by anything. You know, that crazy evolution stuff, that's the craziest thing. You know, it's impossible for something's capacity to be supplied by anything, in that such must be produced by someone. Hence, some things' origin was truly sourced from someone in lieu of something or anything. To be arguing with them guys about the Big Bang, huh? That, if I see a supposed theologian up there trying to prove materially that God exists, you know, somebody getting upset by what they're saying, and so why are they teaching the kids that? You know what the kids are going to, what everyone, not just the kids, they will believe what God reveals to them. Remember Marilyn O'Hara?
Yes.
Come on.
The devout atheist.
Remember.
One of her sons, the God revealed himself to him.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
Now, oh my God, look at that clock. Neither something, nor anything, can independently emerge from the large black pitch empty sphere of nothingness. Now scientists have come to a point where they have scientifically observe and focus what they call what?
Black hole.
The black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And they say anything goes into there, that's the end of it. And what the evolutionist is saying is really antithetical to that.
Mm-hmm.
The evolutionist is saying that out of the black hole came everything. Not a scientist is saying anything that goes into the black hole, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
you see how these fellows begin to contradict themselves? Oh my God. Listen. Neither something nor anything can independently emerge from the large, pitch black, empty space of nothingness, and not one molecule or hint of anything can be traced to an eternal something.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Only someone. Who is the someone?
God.
Who is the someone?
God.
Has always existed. Only someone. Who is the someone?
God.
Is the origin and cause of everything. And anything that can be and has been done as initialized and actualized in and by, and thus all has originated from him. Again, the premise must be reinforced. And we come back to the same thing. The existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. It was exclusively in the sphere of eternity that all things were determined in regards to their proposed purpose, I should say, production.
Amen.
I think I'll repeat that.
Yes.
It is in the sphere of eternity that all things were determined in regards to their proposed purpose production.
All right, man.
God had a purpose for everything that, oh my God, everything that comes out. It's according to purpose. Everything is purpose driven. As this dictates what, how, and when such was actualized in God's eternal decree. I think I repeat that. In the sphere of eternity, all things were determined in regards to their purpose production, and this is what dictates what,
yes,
how, and when such was actualized in God's eternal decree in eternity. This is the only way that something can exist, and that all things must function according to God's purpose and design. This fact should sell the unscripted notions that there are some things in and of their independent functions that are capacitated to decide or determine other things. And I think about salvation and how it is taught. Brother and I, we was watching television and man preaching and got through. He said, "Who wants to be saved? Lift your hands up." All right, if you want to be saved today, come on down. When they got there, all right, repeat after me. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I'm sorry for my sins. First of all, only way you can love God is what? He puts the love of God in you. He puts the love for me in your heart. That part is debatable, but the second part wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry for my sins. You a liar.
Mm-hmm.
No sinner is ever sorry for their sins.
Uh-huh.
A sinner loves sin. My flesh, your flesh, loves sin. That's why you feel good when you tell somebody off. I let him have it. Huh? Oh, we want to think about what they call the big sin. And God, there's no big sin, little sin. You blasted somebody out. You know, you jealous of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They mess up. You were jealous of what they had, and they lost it. And you now you glad.
Yeah.
Your flesh loves it,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Somebody does something to you. Something bad happened to them. You're glad.
That's it. That's
in the flesh. That's in me. That's in you. And all the time we love mercy is what?
When
we need it. When we need it. When we need it.
That's right.
No. We have no use for that mercy and grace stuff. You know, we have no use for it unless we need it. You know, the other fella, give it to him. Comes to me, oh Lord, have mercy. But there's a self-interest there.
There you go. There you go.
But we love sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was telling a story. Somebody was saying I was in the hospital and in pain, and they hooked that stuff up to me, and they Man, I felt the buzz. I said, what was that? Don't tell me your body can't lack morphine. Some of y'all look at me strange. I said, I won't be taking that no more. That thing gave me a buzz, Brother Charlie. And I don't mean it made me feel bad either. Say, I couldn't get addicted to drugs. Don't be no fool. No. I started taking those Tylenol 3s, and after a while I said, I'm taking those no more. I could feel a sensation. Say, well, that's a legal drug. It's still a drug. Alcohol is a drug. I couldn't like it, Kyle. Well, the Lord for his purposes gave you some, and the version for, don't you ever think that your flesh can't tolerate it and couldn't like it. So you as a sinner, you're not sorry you sin. Because if you did, you wouldn't do it anymore. Would you? Huh? Y'all would be crazy.
Amen.
In eternity, he saved you. In spite of yourself. So you're going to stand up at an altar. And then when he gets through with that, and I won't do it no more, and I mean, it's crazy. Isn't that crazy? The rest of my life, I'm going to give my life to you, and you sit up there saying all that stuff. And now, friend, you're saved. The old sinner's prayer.
I hear you.
We don't do that here. If you were saved, you would say when?
In eternity.
In eternity. I take you in the back room and I baptize you and take you in the back room and we go through a prayer chant. And apostolic service, because they call it tarrying. Well, they're not going to like us, but see, man. And everywhere I go, I'm going to tell the truth. So don't call me to preach if you don't want to hear the truth. It's going to mess with your doctrine. And this is what mystery ministering is about. Is about truth.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing that's going to stand.
That's right.
It's truth. I got about 5 minutes, so I'm going to have to bail out here. Amen. So, the only way that something can exist is that all things must function according to God's purpose and design. This fact should sell the unscripted notion that there are some things in and of in the self that function. They're capacitated to decide or determine other things. And this decision of salvation. You making a decision. You made a decision to get into the church. Even in the kingdom gospel, John 6:44, what does he say? No man can come or what? Unless he is drawn. He is dragged. That word means it means dragged. And it's in the aristence. What's aristence? Completed action. Oh, that's right. They said, ignore it. Ignore it. Which tells us that thing was actualized in eternity.
Yes.
The day you think you got saved was not the day you got saved. That's the day you came into the knowledge that God saved you in eternity.
Amen. Yes.
He chose you and elected you in eternity.
Yes.
Not based upon something that you did.
Thank God. Oh, thank God. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord, amen. Thank you, Lord.
So this independent functioning of deciding things. See, for them to do such, they must possess independent abilities to effectuate decisions. In much of so-called orthodoxy, someone other than God, humans must choose to effectuate a change of things. This would qualify such ones as determinable in and of their inherent power to effectuate such independently from God. That is the craziest thing. This postulation, in fact, asserts that some things and all ones have always functioned independently of God's enablement. More importantly, this averts a flawed impression that some things are independent operants. What a crazy thing to teach. What is an independent operant? So what God, he gives us to make up our own mind what we're going to do. Do you really think God left it up to you? So, well, I made a stupid mistake. That was ordained also. What does create mean? I think I'll stop here today. Is that it means to design something in our sense of understanding. And when something is designed, it's designed for a specific purpose.
Yes.
Of how it functions,
yes.
When it functions,
yes.
Where it functions.
Yes.
Huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Now what we don't understand is we live in a depraved environment, an in depravity, according to the 8th chapter of Romans. It groans and waits for that day when it shall be delivered. But it was designed as depraved.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Adam didn't decide to disobey God. So, ooh, Pastor, that's way up from what we taught. And think about this now. Think about it. God in eternity had saved, he had positioned. God in eternity had, through the blood of Christ, justified us. Now, there are some who accuse God of having a contingent plan in case Adam didn't do right. In case Adam didn't do right, God had a contingent plan. God didn't know what Adam was going to do. He said, I'll put you there, and here's the tree, and here are two trees, and he said, don't bother any of the one of them now. God didn't know what Adam was going to do, but yet the tree of life, he put the barrier there. The knowledge of good and evil, he didn't put a barrier there. But the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of the tree of eternal life, he put a barrier there. Why did he put a barrier there? Because it wasn't decreed for Adam to touch that tree. Don't you think Adam would have gone after that tree? He might have gone there first. Adam couldn't do no more than what Adam had been decreed to do, because what Adam did, he didn't do it at that time. It was only a manifestation of what Adam did. God had already decreed it. And so what Adam had done had already been actualized in God's decree. And so what was manifested in the garden was according to what?
God's decree.
To the decree. And so the whole essence of the depraved creation and all of that, I mean, this is all according to God's decree. And he doesn't have to make you do evil. All he has to do is not interfere. What you think you're going to do? Evil. And that's how it works. And it's all according to God's purpose.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
More importantly, give me 2 minutes. This averts a flawed impression that some things are independent operants, freely capacitated to exert determinate actions into the creation process. Isn't that crazy? Here one may pose the question, what would that mean? It would mean that events could occur with the cooperation and participation of such things or such ones. And this is where synergism comes from, and this is where I stopped. This is where synergism comes from. You know the old hybrid engine mentality. You have two different independent operants. That is man and God. Both of them work together to do the same thing. That might work in a hybrid engine where you right. take electricity and you take gas
right.
and you cause them to run the car.
Right.
Amen. I hope they hurry up and get through with that thing. So our pockets can be light at the gas pump. But you don't bring that open to the essence of things happening. There's nothing that you can do. God is the source of all things. Now we shall be moving on. We'll start that next week. Amen. We're going to deal with choice and chance. And there's no such thing as chance. And there's no such thing as choice. And we'll let the scripture teach us. The only choice you have is to be depraved. Because that's what you were designed to be. And the only way you don't be depraved is that God interferes and intervenes and vetoes your depravity. According to his purpose. Everybody say, according to his purpose. We'll move forward next week. God bless you.
Give him a hand, praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.